Well, hello, ladies and gentlemen. This is Thompson Smiley with another of those incidents where we take parts of my Smiley's Picks column from the Louisville magazine and present them live, or some variant upon them, live in the studios of WUOL. And I'm very delighted to have in the studio as my first guest today somebody who I think deserves the most extraordinary plaudits for sheer determination and grit and guts, and that's Robert Berman, the Executive Director of the Louisville Orchestra. Before we talk about Fanfara, which is the principal subject I want to ask you about, the last thing most people heard about the Louisville Orchestra, if they heard anything, was that it was over. And here you are back now with a splendid opening concert, and not just a modest season, but a very complete season covering a wide, wide range of music. In two words, what happened?
We settled. Those are the two words. We settled. Really, Thompson, the orchestra was never over. We were in reorganization status in federal court back 2 years ago. And during that entire bankruptcy process, we completed our full season. So we were happy about that. We then went into a year of a labor impasse. So it felt like the orchestra was gone, but the players remained our employees during that whole time. We had no public concerts, which was really a shame for the community and for the players themselves. But at the end of the day, we all came back together in April and resolved all of our differences. And we have a mutual agreement to go forward with a full season, as you've referred to. Under a budget platform that's about $2 million smaller than what it was 2 years ago.
And an affordable one.
Well, we think so. We think it's a sustainable basis based on the level of support the community's provided in the past.
Mm-hmm. But what a waste that it took a whole year of presumably the orchestra earning practically nothing or earning nothing at all, and the public having no live music, not to mention the impact on the orchestra and other people, and then suddenly just to say, oh, sorry, and get together again.
Yeah.
Is that in the nature of union negotiations?
I suppose. I wouldn't think of it as a waste, though. I would encourage people not to think of it that way, because it was tremendously difficult for the players, first and foremost, to be without a living for a year.
Mm-hmm.
And we do empathize with that. But at the same time, we felt as a board and as management that we have to run the institution under a responsibly fiscal arrangement. And your listeners will know that for so long the orchestra's been struggling. So if people are willing to think of it this way, think of that one lost year within the scope of 75 years of programming.
Mm-hmm.
And if that year means that we now have a basis that we can afford, that's a good thing.
Well, I suppose one will be thinking that the orchestra is now operating under a somewhat different business model, in the sense that it's now living much more within its means, or,
mm-hmm.
or it's letting the potential income. Has this been a painful thing for management or merely arduous?
It's been both. It's been painful and arduous. You know, in the process of working through what we've worked through, relationships have been strained, and that includes our volunteers, our staff, and the musicians. Our trust with the community has been strained. So we know that there's work we need to do collectively, together, with our hands united, to go to the public and say, we want to have something stupendous for this community, and we're willing to invest in whatever it takes to rebuild trust and build back our audiences.
Because the conventional wisdom is that once you lose a subscriber, he, she is lost forever. But this, we hope, is not going to be the case here. I mean, what special efforts can you make to woo back those subscribers who, you know, for better or for worse, may have been somewhat, what's the word, disillusioned by the missing year?
Sure. Well, the first thing I would say is our subscribers have endured this for a long time. Our troubles go back to 97, 2003, 2006, and again in 2010. So we've seen that attrition and that demand upon our audience to be patient for so long. So the best anecdote, of course, is the music. We're doing discounting in terms of enticing people to come back. We gave full refunds during the year that we lost, so nobody lost any of their investment. So that helped retain our good faith.
Mm-hmm.
And we've got a program that we're really proud of. It has 30 weeks of programming. It includes a full-size symphony orchestra. We have 51 musicians that have signed contracts to come back. We were offering 55, so I think we can afford what we have, and we'll probably build up to 55. We have a national consultant that's going to be here this week to work with us to look at long-term strategic issues and bring everybody to the same place. So we're making all the right steps, but it's a process, and we're just at the beginning.
And of course, people in Louisville, I think, are entitled to think this is kind of something Louisville invented. This, dare I call it, small recession or mini recession or whatever in the performing arts, and particularly orchestral music. But the fact is, it's a national wave that you're battling, and even an international wave. Even the huge German orchestras, mm-hmm. with their subsidies rather larger than Louisville's total city budget, even some of them are retrenching.
Right. Well, sadly, during the time that we were going through our reorganization, we lost a lot of American orchestras. Honolulu went out of business, Syracuse went out of business, New Mexico went out of business. Other orchestras like the Philadelphia Orchestra went into bankruptcy. It's a hard thing because, like a metro government, a symphony orchestra has a very high fixed cost model. And in a recession, that makes a very challenging prospect. Mm-hmm. The school district is the same. The Courier Journal is the same. I mean, places that have high fixed costs have very little mobility and flexibility. So we have long-term plans to make the orchestra new and vital and more relevant in the lives of people in Louisville, Kentucky. Those are things that we're working with our players to sort of integrate into what we do on a day-to-day basis. We're extremely excited about what we think we can do. But of course, what it takes is trust and togetherness and strategy and a willingness to work together. And we're now at that point, and we're looking forward to moving that step by step forward.
Well, let me ask a patriotic question. Why do you think Louisville has been able to claw it back from the brink so effectively, so far, so effectively, when all these cities, some of the much larger audience base than Louisville, have simply thrown in the towel or given up, whichever cliche you want?
To me, there's two answers to that. One is our very unique history. The Louisville Orchestra generates pride here, well-deserved, unlike orchestras in some other cities that don't have such a remarkable history. So that's important. And believe it or not, the other thing in my mind is the fund for the arts. We have in this community a broad base of support which allows the Louisville Orchestra to be able to come back more quickly than if we did not have that support. The fund for the arts ends up contributing $1 million a year to support the Louisville Orchestra. That's a huge, important milestone every year for us in terms
less than it used to be, less proportionately than it used to be.
It is, but that's true with all the arts groups. The fund in general has been dealing with all the same issues any business has or the radio station has. So fundraising is growing again at the fund, which is great, but that base of support is indispensable for bringing the orchestra back.
All right, we only have just over a minute and a half. Tell me why we must be present at the Whitney Hall on September 8 for Fanfara.
Well, Fanfara is very intentional this year, and we're incredibly excited about it. This is Bob Bernhardt's 30th anniversary with the orchestra, and George Mester, of course, is our music director. We have designed a program on September 8th to literally bring back everybody on stage at one time. So we are going to have, on the first half of the Fanfara, George Mester with Jeremy Denk playing Mozart Piano Concerto No. 25 and other classical repertoire on the first half. At intermission, we'll have a tribute to Bob Bernhardt for the entire audience in the lobby, and then they'll come back to their seats for the second half and have an unbelievable pops concert showcasing everything the orchestra can do in one show with a guest artist from Las Vegas named Steve Lippia, who will do a tribute to the Great American Songbook. And it's just going to be an unbelievably satisfying night of stellar music making.
That's bold, but not too much so, I think. I mean, some people might say, well, that'll just tick off both audiences. But that has been proven not to be the case.
It is, and when you hear the charts that we have with Steve Lippia, they are some of the best pops charts the Louisville Orchestra's ever played. So
right.
It's incredible orchestration. I think the audiences are going to love it.
Will you remind us of the number to call?
Yes, the phone number for tickets is 587-8681.
Again?
587-8681, or you can go on the website at louisvilleorchestra.org.
And the concert is on Friday, September the 8th at?
It's at 8:30 at Whitney Hall.
At Whitney Hall. I've been talking to Rob Berman, the Executive Director of Louisville Orchestra. Rob, thank you very much.
Thank you.